D-Maze, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, and David Janes, and Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on OutKick. He joins us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hello, Hutton. How are you?
Doing wonderful, guys. Hope you're doing well.
We are. I would love to get your thoughts on the San Francisco Giants hiring Tony Vitello. As many people have noted, it's the first time a manager with no professional experience is being hired, or a coach with no professional experience, I should say, is being hired as a Major League Baseball manager. Two questions for you. One, how do you think Tony Vitello will do in Major League Baseball? And two, how does this change the dynamic of the Tennessee-Vanderbilt baseball rivalry?
Well, it certainly does that, man. As far as the Tennessee Volunteers played with the attitude of Tony V, you know, and Vanderbilt played with the poise of Tim Corbin, you know, like that. That's what it was. It was the two coaches through their teams. I'm fascinated by this because I think we could see more of this at the NFL level moving forward. It hasn't translated very well college to pro, right? There's a different dynamic to it. But now with NIL and the fact that, I mean, the SEC is like the NFL version of college football, like I think coaches now would fare better trying to make the jump up, having to deal with that type of element and the locker room-esque pay-for-play and all that stuff, the business side of things. With that being said, Major League Baseball is a different beast. And I can't wait to see how he reacts to some of these balls and strikes calls and how animated he gets in the dugout at the major league level, because they will run him fast. he's got a short fuse and a short temper, and he runs hot. Let's put it that way. I think that team will have an attitude. That team will play with a chip on its shoulder. That's for sure. I mean, he gets the most out of that. And I think he will do a great job in that clubhouse. But does it translate to the Major League Baseball game where he loses one game and he's distraught? I mean, I think it will get some, it will take some getting used to for him for sure. And I think that the timing and how long this took, I think it weighed on him. Absolutely. And I'm fascinated to see at the end of all of this, what the real storyline was with Tennessee trying to keep him, because in this era, guys, with the cap that you have for the athletic department, I mean, if you're a four sport university, the way Tennessee is, in terms of distribution of money, everybody's trying to grab what they can, the percentage of the cap, right? Like, it's hard to do. Tennessee's, it's not like Georgia does this, football, and then everyone else. Tennessee's trying to do it at the highest level that direction. Tons of fans are upset about it. I get it, but man, moving forward, I'm curious how many universities can pull off what Tennessee's trying to do, which is stay at a championship level at all of those sports.
I did enjoy this tweet from Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel yesterday. Quote, so Tennessee fans are making fake Giants fan accounts and sharing wild Tony Vitello edits and made up things to try to nuke San Francisco's pursuit of Vitello. We are in full unhinged territory on day four of Tony Watch. On brand for Vols fans, no?
Hey, man. I would be upset too, but at the same time, like I'm intrigued by this. I can't wait to see this play out. I want to see more of this. Far too often, there's a lot of retreads in pro sports, and not just Major League Baseball, just everywhere. You know, I'm all for the guy that's a tier lower than the pros getting a chance to do this. Now, it's unusual to see it not work through the minors, and work your way up through the club. But I mean, why not? There's a youth movement in sports right now. And we see it at the NFL level for sure, and we've seen it certainly with the Lakers and what they did with Reddick coaching. So now it's Major League Baseball's turn.
Hutton, how open, how wide, perhaps, is the path for Vanderbilt to make the college football playoff?
It's, I mean, we Chad and I discussed this today. If briefly consider this for me, hypothetically, it's a 16-team playoff, and they have the play-in weekend for the SEC, where you have the 3 versus 6 and the 4 versus 5. If Vanderbilt were to win, we're just looking at the standings. If they were to win the next 2 weeks, they're like the 2 or 3 seed right now in the SEC going into that weekend. If this were the 16-team playoff. Now, looking ahead, I mean, we could play the math game. I mean, it's they need to split Tennessee and Texas, and I think they can get Texas. I mean, Texas doesn't scare anyone the way that they did whenever we were looking at the schedule preseason. And this Vanderbilt team can play with anybody. They can play. They can match up with anyone in the trenches. That they are winning that battle week in and week out. It's commendable. Because I mean, it's not just Pavia doing this. They are going toe to toe on the offensive and defensive fronts, which is something we just are not used to seeing. And that's the difference, really, in why they're able to sustain what they're doing. It's fun to watch. They score a lot of points. It's not really flashy, you know. It's not like they're going deep every play or doing things that you would see from some of the Tennessee offense or maybe what we're seeing in Missouri coming up. But this is they're just consistent. They're very well coached. They play with poise. They don't like to make the mental error that just the self-inflicted problems that we see across rosters. That, I mean, you have to beat Vandy, you have to play a sound football game, because if not, yeah, you can get up 14-3 or 14-7 and look like you're going up 21-7. And before you know it, it's 31-21 at the end of the third quarter. The Commodores have the lead. It doesn't surprise me anymore. And they're going to be right there. They can be exactly where Bama and Ole Miss and South Carolina were a year from now, or a year ago, and actually make their case. And I think we'll be making that case for them, guys, because you're going to have a 2-loss Notre Dame team that's going to be trying to get into the college football playoff, and a 3-loss SEC team. I'm not trying to give Vanderbilt that yet, but man, it's going to be quite the storyline with all the teams that are bundled up together right now in the Southeastern Conference.
Now, Hub, before I ask you about UT, Florida, Billy Napier getting fired. Who do you think is the front runner? I'm looking at James Franklin. I was about to call him Jimmy Franks. But James Franklin. Jimmy
Frank. Some people do refer to him as Jimmy Franks.
Exactly. Yeah. I do at times.
He doesn't like that.
Exactly. I know he don't. But I want to be respectful to him. So I will say I'm James Coach Franklin. Do you think one, that Florida fired Napier, one, because they didn't want to get fooled again, and he go on a run, and they end up having to keep him. But two, to get a jump start, because you look at James Franklin out there. He said he wants to coach again. He can't wait to coach again. But then now Lane Kiffin is being thrown in there.
Yep.
Do you think, one, is that some type of power play? Because both of those guys got the same agent. Is that a power play?
Yes. But, okay, so this – see if you agree with this.
Uh-huh.
Guys, weigh on this. Florida, to me, is not a James Franklin job.
Why is that?
They are going after someone to stir the pot the way Steve Spurrier did. Steve Spurrier is mentioning two names right now, Lane Kiffin and Eli Drinkwitz. Spurrier is saying that publicly. I think they're going after that. Now, there's a report out that they went after Marcus Freeman, and he immediately said no. I read that this morning. Chad sent that to me. With that in mind, they're going big, but Franklin to me is more Auburn than he is Florida. Does that make sense? It's I think from a Florida perspective, I think they're going back to the cocky, brash, out front, outspoken head coach. I think they're going to try to get something closer to Steve Spurrier than James Franklin, and that's also offensively what we saw at Penn State. That's not what they want in Gainesville offensively. They don't want to play conservative. They want to get back to what they were in the 90s, and that's okay. They don't view themselves as an 8-win football team. That's great. But I mean, there's not too many coaches, guys, where you just like you circle it and you say, okay, this is the no-brainer. Like, this is the proven winner. Penn State wants to go get a championship level coach. It's like, good luck. Like there's those guys don't really exist right now. Mm-hmm. There's like three. So like with keeping that in at the forefront, it's like, do you go with the up and coming coach that you're going to take a swing at? Well, they've already done that with Napier. I think they're going, and I think the next coach of the Gators is currently coaching in the SEC. I think it's mm-hmm. it's Kiffin or Drinkwitz. Then again, that's Spurrier on like podcasts saying he doesn't really want to get into it, but then he names two names specifically.
Now, I think at the beginning, I said I don't know if it was either you or Chad that we discussed yeah. this with. If UT, considering what had happened in the offseason, you know, the spur of the moment, the coach, yeah. not the coach, but the quarterback transfer at the last minute. They swap quarterbacks, yep. basically. And people are looking at it as, man, if this team is 8-4, that's a good team, considering that's a good record, considering all that has happened. Now, we know yes. UT has started out really good. But looking at that Alabama game, they did show some wrinkles or some chink in their armor. They still yes. have Oklahoma left, who's ranked 13th, and they're getting their quarterback back. And then, obviously, we That's know right. how good Vandy has been. And Florida game is always that game, no matter what the deal is. It's going to be a tough game. Knowing the way UT started, the expectations at the beginning, would this still be a disappointing team season considering how they started, or would it be a situation where, hey, listen, this is what we thought they were going to be anyway?
Well, I mean, I didn't expect the quarterback to be a better fit from the jump. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, I mean, I think everyone agrees that Aguilar's a better fit
yes.
than Nico. So with, I mean,
Heupel and now Nico's winning too at UCLA.
Well, that's true. That's mm-hmm. true. And you know, Heupel's had some game management things go on. There are. It's not if you lose, it's how you lose. But let me put it this way: it's mm-hmm. not like Tennessee's going out and losing every game. It 8-4 preseason. You're like, yeah, man. If you could just like get things settled at quarterback, mm-hmm. that no coach wants to go through this and have to like speed rush everything with the install. But I said at the time, this is not a mulligan year for Heupel. He said this at SEC Media Days. It's not like anyone's going to feel sorry for them. And it's a lot like what we saw last year at Alabama. You know, like I was hearing from donors and boosters. They're like, oh, you know, we're okay taking our lumps with, you know, DeBoer's coming in. And then he gets his recruiting going. We'll take a year and then we'll go. No. At the end of the year, they're talking about whether or not they want to make a change. Mm-hmm. There is no mulligan year in the Southeastern Conference. So, you know, it's not like Heupel's getting fired, but you take advantage of what's in front of you at any given moment. So, you know, not every 8-4 is created equal. Mm-hmm. And since Tennessee reached number one and we saw them at that pinnacle, they at number one in the SEC last year, they've been 10-5. So how do you take that? If you're a Vols fan, you want to beat Oklahoma. There are certain things down the path, but I mean the Georgia game was fantastic. I mean, that was just a blast to watch. And you're right. There are some issues that they have to get a grasp of that we saw play out in Alabama. But I mean, I didn't see many hear from many Vols fans that mm-hmm. thought they were winning that game.
I'd love to get to your thought on the play before the end of the half, because I watched it back because I couldn't watch the game live. Yeah. The Predators were playing. I watched yeah. the full game back, but I already knew who won, right? I knew how the game ended.
Sure.
But I'm asking myself, if they cash it in there and don't have that enormous 14-point swing, what happens in the second half? Because I'm very impressed with Alabama's personnel. I'm
Me too.
What I keep saying is, how in the world, what happened against Florida State? Because they look like they've got it.
I know.
They're moving in the right direction now. So tell me what you think happens in the second half if they cash it in.
I think Tennessee's going toe-to-toe, but I still think Bama wins just based on quarterback play. Man, there's something about Ty Simpson, man. He's outstanding. He looks like a pro quarterback playing college.
Yes.
He looks like a rookie in the NFL. But without taking the lumps. He's just in command. He looks like Jaden Daniels. You know, like he's comfortable in that system. It's perfect for him. And, you know, I think, you know, just a side note, sidebar, I mean, he and Pavi are what's great about what we love about college football. Like they one stuck it out in the NIL era and waited for his turn, and he's maximized it. and the other worked his way to where he is and had opportunities to leave and didn't for Vanderbilt. I commend both guys. I think both have a great shot at the Heisman Trophy, and that's how I differentiate the game in the second half right there, Willie, is quarterback play. No different, really, than what we saw in the Tennessee-Georgia game. You know, the fourth down call. Number one, to be able to make the call, but then to execute the play for the touchdown that we saw for the Bulldogs. I get the sense Alabama's making that play this year. And you're right, man. I don't know how they ended up playing as bad as they did with the quarterback talking trash about their defense. Castellanos talking trash this offseason about Bama, and they still won that game, FSU did. It's interesting. And, hey, I mean, Tennessee, I don't know. There have been, like, clock management things and play calls, other things where Heupel's been questioned, and I think that
– So tell me what you thought of that play, because McElroy, I think, was the guy doing the game, right? He was saying that the formation gave away the play.
Gave away it was going to be a pass.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that, and there's, you know, time on the clock where it was – and where they were on the field. I mean, I tend to agree. I mean, we saw what happened with the swing and the pick. So, yeah. It was a great read. It was just a great read, too, by the defense.
It was a bad pass. You know? It was a bad pass.
Oh, it was a bad pass.
If it's in front of them, it's a touchdown. Though, yeah.
But it was a bad pass. But the anticipation, I mean, that you can tell they were ready for that. Mm-hmm. And if it's pass all the way, I mean – Yeah, I mean, that's smart football by Alabama. They're prepared for that moment.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace, Fingan and Donick. He joins us every Wednesday. It's not Monday. I don't know what day it is. Wednesday Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hutton, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, thank you, guys. The Colts have a league-high 34 red zone trips this season, and they average 33 points per game.
Okay, Hutton, give me one name. Who replaces Tony Vitello as the baseball coach? Any idea? Any idea?
No.
I don't either.
No clue.
They're going to get you.
I didn't know if there was a name circulating that is off the staff.
In studio today, the guys are just talking about just they want to elevate from within, I guess. I mean, from within the program. But, I mean – That's the thing about Willie. If you don't know, I don't know when it comes to college baseball.
Also, are you taking the Colts minus 14.5 on Sunday?
Double the spread.
Oh.
Okay.
We'll see.
Who are we kidding?
Double the spread. We'll see. Hutton, thank you.
All right. See you guys.
Yep.
615-737-1025. It's time for Silly Underdog Picks. And I'm not looking forward to hearing from Chris Sanders, a.k.a. Little Bill. We'll talk to Chris Sanders and Hal Gill as part of Silly Underdog Picks. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. It is time for Silly Underdog Picks, presented by our friends at Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Without further ado, let's turn it over to the commissioner, Willie Donick.
Ooh, Willie. Oh, Willie.
Ladies and gentlemen, Willie, boys and girls, this is your commissioner speaking. Welcome to Silly Underdogs 2025. The competition moves on to week 9. Beautiful fall day, autumnal weather, football in the air, and the insiders continue to make their picks. In the 31st year of this competition, it is brought to you, of course, as it has been the last several years here on 102.5 The Game, by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Let's recap before we introduce our panel the results from week 8. Because...
Do we got to recap?
They were, as my kids would say, signif. There were some developments in the competition. Significant. It started off with one Chris Sanders. I don't believe he's on the line yet.
Well, keep going.
I think if he were on the line, we'd have heard from him by now.
Boo!
Chris Sanders, the defending champion, had the first pick, and he was going into a week where he had gone 0-7 to start the competition. He went with UAB, going for the fired coach bump. A 21.5-point home dog against undefeated Memphis. Sorry, David.
It's all right.
Memphis.
And the Blazers come up big with a 31-24 victory over the Tigers. And just like that, he's back. Chris Sanders going deep.
Boo.
21.5 points. I'm sure right now he's looking at his watch. He's looking at the practice. Coach is going, is practice over yet? Down the street on West End. He can't wait to run off the field and call us to taunt the panel.
He didn't even watch the game.
The kids need him, so he doesn't need a call.
He didn't even watch the game. Memphis was on there.
You don't think he watched the game?
No, because I asked him Sunday, and he said he didn't watch it. He didn't even know Memphis was playing with a backup freshman quarterback. He didn't know that. And then Memphis should have sent the game into overtime.
Boo.
But the coach, trying to be smarter than everybody else, had his offensive line on the line of scrimmage for like 10 seconds.
I was really
false start.
I was really hoping that Chris was going to go over.
Well, damn it.
And now I'm looking up at Chris in the standings, which makes me sick.
So there's some disappointment in the air, no question. Derek Mason went into the weekend, the leader in the competition.
Still the leader.
Still in the lead. After this game, he went with USC, a sensible pick, big rivalry game, 9.5-point dog, heading to South Bend to play the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Good game.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, though, hangs on 34-24. D-Mace drops to 3-5. So he still leads. So, D-Mace, how do you feel after that? Like, are you looking over your shoulder?
Nah. It's not about what's behind me. It's about what's in front of me. I'm looking at that championship. That's what I'm focused on.
Okay.
The chip, okay?
The chip.
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of chip? Potato?
Chocolate?
Silly underdogs chip, okay?
That brings us to Hal Gill, who is on the line with us, and he has had a eventful day. I know this because I saw him earlier out at the Predators Foundation clay shoot to raise money. So he was firing rifles all day, talking to the meeting and greeting the people, and also pondering with his committee's help his pick for this week. But last week, we were up in Montreal, and Adam Vingan speculated that Hal Gill would not pick up the phone because of his social calendar on a day off in Montreal.
He did.
We have a witness that says he picked up the phone, but he was not able to stay around long enough to actually make the pick.
I would like to make a motion. I would like to make a motion.
Well, your motion is denied.
No, I haven't even had an opportunity.
I know what your motion is. It's denied.
I'm going to say it anyway because Hal, well, actually, it wasn't Hal. It was Max Herz who correctly predicted
Minnesota over Nebraska.
I don't think Hal deserves these points because he couldn't be bothered to make the pick himself. Yep. So I file.
You already brought this up last week, and it's not working.
I file a motion.
Yes, it's denied.
Okay.
But Hal, did you have a good dinner at least last week in Montreal?
Do I get a rebuttal?
Yes, rebuttal, Hal.
Do I get a rebuttal? Because what time is the 5:20 call?
And what time was your reservation in Montreal?
I had a 6:30 reservation. I was on the phone at 5:15, waiting. And I sat there and waited. I'm not going to wait around for you clowns to figure out when you're going to do silly underdog picks. If you tell me it's at 5:20, I hate to be Saban on this one, but like, hey, if you're not early, you're late. You know. So
yes.
I was ready for it, and I think I delegated my authority to Max Herz, who made a good call.
I thought you fired Max.
It's hard to let that little guy go. He comes down with a puppy dog eyes. It's hard to.
He
let
does
go.
Have an expressive face. By the way, this is not the only motion. This is not the only motion I will be filing. But if this one's denied, I'm going to try another one in just a minute.
Okay. But Hal, I was able to watch the game. We were able to get this game on thanks to Lindsay Rowley's phone and the ability to get the app. Across the border in Winnipeg, we watched Minnesota thump Nebraska 24-6. That was quite satisfying, Hal.
What a great sporting day that was. We were watching Shohei Ohtani just jack balls out and throw strikeouts. And then, of course, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers were on the TV right next to us. And then on the phone, we got to watch our silly underdog hit it for how many points, Willie?
7.5.
There
you vaulted into second place. And for the record, Max Herz went to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers game.
Good for you, Max.
And he invited Hal to go. And what was your answer, Hal?
As awesome as that sounds, no. I don't want to.
It was kind of rainy and damp, like dank. We were like, Max. I mean, Max was ready to go. He was fired up for us to go. And he could not get any takers to go to the Blue Bombers game. But he toughed it out. And that brings us to Adam Vingan for the final pick of Week 8. He selected Ole Miss, a 7.5-point dog at Georgia. Let's set the scene. Ole Miss in the fourth quarter, leading between the hedges, feeling good. Couldn't hang on. 43-35, Georgia found some offense and hands Ole Miss their first loss of the season. Right. Adam, you're in last place. Sorry.
My second motion.
Oh boy.
You may recall that last week, Willie misidentified me and referred to me as Alex. And because of that, not only should this loss be stricken from my record, I deserve a 2-point bonus for pain and suffering and humiliation for being called the wrong name by my good friend on live radio.
Adam, you have to have thick skin on this show, okay? This is drive
that
time.
That is the most, by the way, that is the most Adam Vingan report ever. I want 2 points for pain and suffering.
Wow. See, you had me at.
Not get more Vingan than that.
You had me at the name. Because he said, but then you added in that other stuff. You just totally.
I should have come in here with a neck brace on.
Yeah,
right. That said, Alex on it,
like the guy in the Brady Bunch. Hey. Remember that happened in the Brady Bunch? Hal, the guy had the fake neck brace on. That could have been Alex. Yeah. That could have been Alex / Adam.
All right. Well, we've got Chris Sanders on the line, and while we wait for Chris, why don't you recap the standings?
Okay,
and
so
then we'll
the
let
standings after 8 weeks.
Chris, do his thing.
D-Mace with 32.
That's right.
Ooh.
Second place, Hal Gill, 25.
Oh,
yes. Chris Sanders, 21.5. He's back in the race. Hello, Chris. And Adam Vingan with 18, now in the cellar. Oh, boy. There's a new man in the cellar.
How does it feel? How does it feel to be you at the bottom?
Gotta have thick skin.
Hey, as long as you give it your all, that's all that matters.
That's
hey,
right, Chris.
Hey, hey, Chris, you should have hit him with the Temptations. How does it feel to be me? Because you are Chris now.
Yeah, you ain't in third place no more.
A texter has chimed in.
How does it feel?
A texter has chimed in and asked me to quit being so soft.
Okay. Well, we do have to get this out before we make our picks for week 9. Chris, there's been a claim on this show that you did not watch UAB upset Memphis. Is that true?
I didn't watch not 30 seconds of it. I just saw it. D-Mace, why are you going to tell on me, man?
Because you didn't watch it, man.
How you going to call?
You are not required to watch your game. You're not.
You were doing the show last week, and he's like, hey, man, you watch? I'm like, nah. Oh, he's like, okay. Then you did for the show.
Because I watched it, man.
No, goodness. You didn't.
Yes, I did. I watched that game. How do you think I told you about what was happening or what went down?
Who won? Hey, what's 10? What's 11 plus 10?
Why do you keep asking that?
It ain't 32, I tell you that.
Okay, let's get to the picks this week.
So Chris is back in the race after 21.5 points. That's what he's getting at with his math equation. Okay, week number 9, it'll be D-Mace followed by Hal, Adam, and Chris. So I give the floor to the leader of the competition, the Sparty himself, Derek Mason.
Hit my theme music.
Oh.
Now the question is he going to do it? Is he going to do it?
You know my rule.
He doesn't like to do it.
I don't like to pick my Spartans because.
But you have to consider this. If you don't do it.
Yes.
Who is going to do it?
Ooh, I can't worry about that necessarily, but I gotta go with my Spartans. Let's go, baby! Spartan dogs in the house on the banks of the Red Cedar. That's what we're gonna do. School that's known to all. Come on, let's go, man. Let's go.
The emotions have caught up to Derek Mason. He is doing it. He is taking Michigan State. A 14.5 point home dog in Spartan Stadium, East Lansing, Michigan, against the Michigan Wolverines.
Man.
I can see the blood flowing right now.
I don't like to do it, but I had to do it.
The pride got to him.
I didn't think you were going to do it.
Congratulations.
Oh, man.
Okay.
He instantly regrets it.
No, I don't regret it.
You've done it before.
I've done it one other time. I think I won the last time I did that.
I don't know. I may have to check the records on that.
Yeah, you need to check the
records. Okay. But it's down. Michigan State, 14.5. That brings us to Hal Gill. Hal, did you get any? Well, let's get the theme music out there first.
I love it. If that doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what will. You know, give me some Dropkick Murphys all day.
Did you get any tips while on the course today doing the clay shoot?
You know what? I still have the gunshot residue in my face. I can still smell it. It's still fresh. I actually just saw a hawk fly out. I'm out in my backyard, and I saw a hawk fly by, and my first instinct was to shoot it. I don't know what's become of me. So this might be a cloudy pick, but because I rolled with Minnesota last week, I feel like I have to do it again.
I like that pick. I thought about it.
I have to go with it for 8.5, mm-hmm. Willie. Is that where we're at?
That is correct. The Gophers, coming off of their impressive home win over Nebraska, are an 8.5 point dog as they travel to Iowa to take on the Hawkeyes.
And I should have shot that hawk. That's what I'm thinking. With the Hawkeyes, I feel like I probably should have brought it away.
It's not an Iowa Hawkeye, though. That's a Nashville Hawkeye.
Different Hawkeye.
That's his cousin.
Okay, so Hal is going back to the well that was good to him last week in Winnipeg, the Minnesota Golden Gophers. That brings us to Adam Vingan, now in the cellar for the first time in a while, looking to bounce back.
Stop mentioning that.
I'm trying to toughen you up.
I know. Okay, I haven't taken too many big swings this season because I like to compile, but I'm in last place, so I need to take a big swing. And I am going to do it at the expense of a university from where I grew up. I'm sorry to my Old Dominion Monarchs, but I am taking the App State Mountaineers, a 14.5 point road dog at Old Dominion.
I looked at that one too. That would put you in the lead, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that would put you in the lead.
Old Dominion. Actually, Appalachian points? State is a 14.5 point dog at Old Dominion at a place called Kornblau Field.
Yeah, I was there yesterday.
In Norfolk, Virginia. Have you been to the stadium, Adam? You grew up in Norfolk?
I don't think I've actually ever been to an ODU football game.
Okay.
Plenty of ODU basketball games. Never an ODU football game.
Okay. Appalachian State is 4-3. Old Dominion is 4-3. Interesting pick. So 14.5, going big. That brings us to the guy who invented going big. The Forever Titan.
Boo.
On a roll after 21.5 points in the win column last week. Chris Sanders.
Let's go. What in the world? Wow.
I just realized.
Oh, wrong one.
It's the Little Bill theme song.
Wrong one. I'm sorry.
I think you should have stuck with Little Bill.
All right, I'm gonna do it this week. Oh my. Okay, here we go. Since Adam is in last place, I'm going for the gusto. And this is what's going to get me in first place. Y'all can laugh and cackle and not for the kids. It's UCLA.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you, Willie? Yes. I told you what he was going to pick.
He called it.
Yes.
Nico Fever.
Yes.
Oh,
come
man.
Come on, Nico. They beat Penn State in Penn State, and they're riding high, baby. This will be a signature win for the Bruins.
UCLA is a 25.5-point dog at Indiana. Who, now, you tell me if you ever thought you were going to say this. Number two, in Indiana. Number two.
In basketball, yes.
In basketball, yes.
Yeah,
this is the pigskin we're talking about.
Yes. I mean, we do live in a world where Indiana, Georgia Tech, well, and I guess Vanderbilt was at one point in the top 10. Well, they are in the top 10.
They are number 10.
I'm looking at the wrong poll.
They are number 10.
But we live in a world where Indiana, Georgia Tech, and Vanderbilt are top 10 basketball football teams in the country.
Yeah, you would have been thinking basketball.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That's why I said basketball on accident.
What a week. This is going to be fun. So let's recap. Derek Mason had the first pick. He thought about it. He pondered it. And indeed, he is taking his beloved alma mater, Michigan State, a 14.5-point dog as they take on the arch rival, Michigan Wolverines.
Smith, you need this victory. You need it.
I just
if you don't get this victory,
what was the
coach,
famous line? There's a problem with the snap.
Yeah.
Is that what happened? Remember the
Michigan
time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There's a problem with the snap.
Hopefully.
Can you visualize it?
I can see it. I can see it. I can see it.
Okay. So Michigan State is the pick. Hal Gill, staying in the Big Ten. The Big Ten is a big theme this week. Mm-hmm. He goes with the team that did him right last week, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, an 8.5-point dog at Iowa, trying to win two in a row. And these are the Gophers, like in Caddyshack, not to be confused with what Carl Spackler thought. He was talking about the golfers.
The Gophers. Oh, man.
Adam Vingan, right now in last place, trying to bounce back with a strong performance from Appalachian State. Appalachian State is a 14.5-point dog at Old Dominion, right in his backyard that he grew up, Norfolk, Virginia. And finally, Chris Sanders.
Let's go.
He had a 21.5-point win last week. This week, he goes to the fight song that we're hearing. UCLA, a 25.5-point dog. They've been playing better. They've got Rick Neuheisel's son calling the plays now.
Pretty Ricky is what they call him.
And they are a 25.5-point dog at number two, undefeated, Indiana. What world are we living in? Those are our picks for week number 9 in the Silly Underdog Competition, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Gentlemen, good luck.
Hey, guys, this week it would be great if we came back next week and everybody won, because there's double-digit picks, with the exception of Hal's. But still, I have a vision that we all are going to win, and we're going to feel good about one another.
Yeah.
Not! We're not! Only I'm winning. You're not, okay? I hope y'all lose. All right? That fluffy stuff, that feel-good stuff, no. I'm winning. Y'all
kids?
Losing. You know what I say about them kids. You know what I say about them kids. You know what I say about the you.
Same,
want me to say them?
The same thing that the L.A. Rams say about draft picks?
F them kids, man.
Oh, gosh.
Good
team, folks.
Oh, my goodness.
Y'all know I love kids. Y'all know.
We love
y'all
kids.
Y'all love kids. Get them kids, man. Forget them kids.
Oh, man.
If I were the Spartans, I'd get Derek on a plane up there on Saturday morning for the pep talk. He's ready.
Oh, man.
Red.
Y'all have a good weekend.
All right. Now it's your turn. It's your turn to pick at 615-737-1025. The first caller at that number, 615-737-1025, will represent the people this week. And if you pick correctly, you will win a pair of tickets to see Brian Adams and Pat Benatar at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, November 7th. Call us right now, 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Smashville Live is coming up next, featuring Max Herz and Kara Hammer. Player guests Adam Willsby and Tyson Jost. And then right after that, you can catch Willie and I on Preds Insiders at 7 o'clock. But let's get our people's pick. Let's go to Randy on our phone line. Randy is in Ashland City. Randy, welcome to the competition. Your selection, please.
Vanderbilt over Missouri.
Well, Vanderbilt is favored in this game, if I am not mistaken.
They are.
Yeah. So would you like to pick Missouri to beat Vanderbilt?
I can't pick Vanderbilt to beat Missouri.
No, because Vanderbilt is favored. You have to pick an underdog.
Silly underdogs. You must pick an underdog. And they must win outright.
What about Notre Dame and Army?
Well, you can take Army.
You can take Army, yes.
I'll take Army.
Okay.
Why not?
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate it.
Bold pick.
Oh, yeah. If that hits, boy, whoo. Randy, if that hits, call us back,
is
okay?
Is Notre Dame playing Army? What am I?
I don't think Notre Dame is playing this week.
Are they not playing? He must be talking about next week.
Oh, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem.
Yes, Houston, we have a huge problem.
Okay, hold on. We're going to figure this out. Notre Dame does not play this week, Randy.
Yes, Randy. So call back in.
Randy was rattled because he thought he's just been programmed.
He wanted to do Vandy, and I understand
that. He's been programmed to think Vanderbilt is always an underdog. But that's not the case.
Yes. Not the case.
They were favored against the ranked team for the first time since 1978 last week, and now they're favored again. So Randy, against the ranked team.
Randy, you can call us back.
Yes.
You can call us back, or we're going to have to find somebody else. We'll give you a minute.
I don't think Notre Dame actually
They're off this week.
Yeah.
But they don't. They actually don't play Army this year.
They play Navy.
They play Navy
this year.
I've seen them in the past play Army and Navy. Army had a really good team last year. Am I remembering this right? And they smoked Army. Notre Dame did.
Yes.
That was a rude awakening for Army.
Well, we're still looking. We're still looking for a silly underdog people's pick. So we're going to open it back up. 615-737-1025.
We got some
time. If you want to represent the people, call us back. 615-737-1025. You can win a pair of tickets to see Pat Benatar and Brian Adams at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, November 7th.
By the way, the Winnipeg crowd on the Saturday hockey night in Canada had a sing-along to Brian Adams' Cuts Like a Knife. The chorus at the end, it's a nice effort there with the sing-along. You know, most people have like the old hat, the Bon Jovi. Mm-hmm. You know, Living on a Prayer, Everybody Sing Along, or Blink 182. This was new. I appreciated that.
We have Randy back. All right, Randy.
Randy is back.
Yes.
Give us another pick.
Come on, Randy.
Do we got Randy?
Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, y'all pick Missouri over Vanderbilt.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Randy.
He flipped his
appreciate
choice.
It. Yes.
Thank you, Randy.
Okay, I want to say this to people, because I may have caught some people just getting in the car.
Yes.
And when I said, I gave the letter F and said, them kids, I mean, forget those kids. It's just a little thing that I do.
That's not what you meant at all.
Yes. Being facetious.
Yeah, we knew what you meant.
But I'm saying for somebody that's just getting in the car and they heard Mason say, F them kids. They thinking like, my kid is in the back seat, man. No, I wanted to say forget those kids. But it's all unjust, man. It's just fun.
When I get home,
I love the kids.
When I get home,
it was D-Mace's alter ego.
Exactly.
In the name of competition.
That was his alter ego, Merrick Dayson. When I get home, I will tell Arlo, Derek didn't mean it.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. I didn't mean it. Well, but damn them kids, man.
Well, there was that one time. There was one time I was talking to my son about being on the radio, and he said, Derek is bad, and Dada is bad, and Willie is good.
Willie's good. Has it changed? Or
it probably did, because I said, I misspoke talking about the female anatomy.
Yeah.
That one day. I won't say it again.
Let's not bring that up again. Come on.
Oh, my goodness, man.
Man, we've been a PG-13 show today, haven't we?
Wow, this show, it gets off the rails pretty fast around here, you know. But we managed to get it back on the rails.
We swerved off the road for a few minutes, talked about hot moms, and then swerved back on the road. Yeah.
Willie and I are like Walter, the movie that, was it Walter Mandel?
Walter Matthau?
The grumpy old man.
Yeah.
But we're not grumpy.
You can be grumpy sometimes.
What did the tweet about Tennessee's baseball coach say?
Hutton sent this to us after we stopped talking to him. From Buster Olney of ESPN. With Tony Vitello moving to the San Francisco Giants, the Tennessee head coach job is open, and among those interested is Kurt Schilling, who lives in Tennessee.
Now, Buster Olney goes way back on ESPN. And
Kurt
at
Schilling used to be on ESPN.
Kurt Schilling was an excellent baseball analyst at ESPN and then was let go. But there's probably a relationship there. Mm-hmm. So is that Kurt Schilling going to Buster Olney and saying, I want to throw my hat in the ring?
So Buster's throwing it out there?
A trial balloon, perhaps?
Perhaps. Hmm. It's intriguing.
But what does UT
But I don't
do?
Think he's ever coached Kurt Schilling.
But he would certainly fill the fiery aspect that's being left behind.
In
Tony
a different
Vitella.
Way. Yeah, so that would be really interesting. And a guy, did Kurt Schilling play college baseball? I don't think so. I think he went out of high school. So
Not
you
sure.
would go from having a college coach mm-hmm. go straight to the big leagues who has never been in pro baseball and then replace him in this hypothetical with a guy that has never been any part of college baseball and you'd be
but
a head
coach.
But do
you think they hire from within considering the timeline?
I think that there's a pretty good shot, mm-hmm. the timing of this. Mm-hmm. You've already, at the end of the fall, you've got a pretty good sense of your roster. And it's a new thing in the uh-huh. fall because you're allocating NIL. You're making, in a lot of cases, you're making cuts. You've got to get your roster down. There's a roster limit mm-hmm. on that. It's a really interesting situation Tennessee's in there because there might be some kids that are like, oh, Coach Vitello is not here.
I'm going.
Maybe I'm going yeah. to the portal. I don't know how
if
that's going
to work.
If a
new coach comes in, so it's almost better that they, if they want to maximize keeping their players, hire from within.
We can pick up this conversation tomorrow. We will be live at Bridgestone Arena, Predators versus Canucks in game two of the Predators 5-game homestand. Elliot Friedman will join us at 5 o'clock from Sportsnet. We'll get back into the Titans versus the Colts, all of the things, maybe even some hot mom talk. I can't promise you that we won't do it. But Smashville Live is coming up next.
Be love. Love on your people, including kids, people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that song. Don't you forget about us. We will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock, same time. Peace.